Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for each person who's come. Thank you, God, for the prayer that we just sang, Lord, that your spirit would just overflow to every single heart, and that your glory would invade this place. Lord, you told us that if we come together and we lift you up, God, that you would draw us to yourself. Lord, I pray that every heart here would get closer to you today, Lord. They would feel that presence, that fellowship. And Lord, I pray if there's anything in us that, Lord, you need to reveal to us, Father, any way that's not from you, God, we give you permission to speak to us today. And Father, as we open up your word, we pray, Lord, we come to the fountain of your word, Lord, and we pray that it would speak to us. And I thank you for each person who's come here today. I pray that they would know how special they are, how much you love them. Lord, how you desire and have been seeking after them. Lord, do your work, we pray, in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, team. That was beautiful. Appreciate it. And also want to say thanks. Didn't Hannah do a nice job? Thank you for sharing with us today. And Michael reading the scripture and Carol playing is beautiful. So we are glad to be here. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And if you need a Bible, there should be one nearby you, a black book or a paperback. In the black book, we're on page 981, in the paperback 570. And if you need a Bible, feel free to grab one of those as well. I have an announcement for children. Children, you can meet your Sunday school teacher in the back and head off to your classes now if you would like. And if you're a parent and you have a child with you, feel free, you're welcome to go as well. The teachers will be right there in the back. And also, I have another announcement. Jesse, come on up here. We're going to do something spontaneous. Are you up for it? I think you are. I'm going to have you go to that microphone if you don't mind. If you wouldn't mind just sharing about the France trip and anything that we need to do. Craig, if you could put that one on. Thank you, sir.
Hi, good morning. My name is Jesse, and this announcement is, we've had a video on it a couple weeks ago, and it's in your bulletin, and it's also in the newsletter, about the mission trip coming up in April to go to Marseille, France, to go serve a people group from the Comoros Islands. And Linda is leading that group, and we're hoping to get a few people from DPC and also maybe Peninsula Covenant, but at this point it's looking to be a small group, but there is still time. If you want to join us, you can still express interest. The deadline is a week from today, January 22nd. And please pray to see if this is something that God might be calling you to do. I've been praying this a lot for myself, and we'll finalize that for myself this week. And there's still time for any of you who want to join. But either way, please be praying for us as we prepare. We're very grateful for all of that and prayerful support. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Jesse. And we'll be praying. Paul had Barnabas and Jesse and Linda, and they would like to have an Epaphroditus or somebody else join. So pray for that. That's from the message. Anyways, if you would stand with me, we're going to read and dive into God's Word, and we're going to talk about quality investments today, and we're going to get this from the text, Philippians 2:19. Through 30. So we'll start reading together. But I do have to just make sure you guys know what time it is, because it's a new year and you're kind of getting started. And what time is it? What time is it? Oh, and does San Francisco love Bible time? Yes, they do. And does San Francisco need Bible time? Yes, it does. Amen. Amen. So let's start at verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon.
Served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him justice soon.
Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Today, we'll talk about spiritual investments, and I draw this from this text, but I want you just to think about it. All of you are investors in that sense. You invest in yourselves, you invest in your families, you invest in your jobs, hobbies, activities. Some of your investments require a lot of attention, others maybe not so much, but everyone has them. Some give immediate results and returns, those are nice. Others take a while for them to mature. But as I looked at this text, some truths that I see from it, and I'll kind of do a flyover of what we're going to share with you today. First thing I want you to see is spiritual investments are investments that are so much different, and they last forever. But the one thing you'll see is they multiply the impact of your ministry. And so we'll see that in verse 19, where Paul said he hoped to send Timothy. Timothy was a multiplication, if you will, of Paul, and he wanted to send them to him. Spiritual investments, when we make them, are proof that our motives are right. I mean, if you think about just the concept of making these spiritual investments, looking at verses 20 and 21, we see that, where Paul said, I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Just the fact that we're looking out for other people is a great motive. And Paul goes on to say, some seek their own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. So spiritual investments are powerful. There's no greater joy, I believe, in the ministry than seeing your spiritual investments mature. I mean, when you have poured out into someone and then you see them growing and doing the things that they're doing, it's a powerful, powerful thing. In verse 22, Paul says about Timothy that he has a proven worth and how, as a son, he served with him in the gospel and how proud he was of that. And I want to finally say spiritual investments are costly, but they're worth it. And when we talk about Epaphroditus, how he nearly died for the work of Christ in verse 30, we realize that there's a lot of risks involved. There's a lot of going out on a limb, if you will, that's very, very powerful. So our big idea is this: quality investors are always investing in others and receiving investments, both giving investments and receiving investments. So if you have a bulletin, you may notice, especially if you're a guest here today, there is an outline in there. You can pull that out. You're welcome to write on it. You can fill it in if you like. If not, no problem. But I have my redwood analogy, and we've been calling this study a study of spiritual redwoods. And last week, my heart was grieved because that big redwood tree fell, you know, and that you could drive through, and I was wanting to go there and get a picture, and that hurt me. I don't know. I guess the series has really bonded me close to these trees. But anyways, one of the things you'll see about the redwood trees, and as you kind of study them, there's an interesting concept about them. They have a trick, if you will, that foresters love. And with their high tolerance for shade and their ability, if you will, to sprout, some redwoods, and I want you to get this, can sit almost dormant in the shade of their elder trees, their taller trees. And then something happens. When the taller tree gets cut down, they have a phenomena that happens. New light starts to get on these trees, and they grow, and they call this phenomena release. Now, I want you to think about this just spiritually. This is so incredible because I believe that in all of our hearts here, you know, we have stood, if you will, with dominant trees around us, but now God all of a sudden says, hey, it's time for you to come out of, if you will, hibernation. It's time for you to get up and grow. It's time for you to take the mantle, if you will. And so this phenomena of release is really powerful when we think about this. This is something we're going to pray about at our prayer meeting, and I do want to invite you to just come to this next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, if you're free to be able to come. We're going to be praying that God would release, if you will, workers, that God would bring that glory down that we prayed, that spirit to invade in us. You sang about beautifully this morning, Clark. So I'm praying for that. And the other thing that I'm praying is an army of multipliers. And I want you to think about this. As we look around, all of us are investing in somebody or something. But if God could mobilize us and if you will, make us strategic in our investments, I'm praying for that army of multipliers. Look at verse 19. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus. And I want to just start with that first phrase there. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's not in me, it's not in you, it's not in this world, it's not in our government, it's not in money, it's not in sex, it's not in any of those things. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus. And Paul said, I hope in the Lord Jesus that I could send Timothy to you. And you know what he was hoping to do? And I want you just to get this picture. He wanted to send Timothy to go to them and then literally be cheered by Timothy. He was like, all right, I'm going to send Timothy. Timothy's going to come to you. He's going to say, wow, these guys are doing awesome. They're multiplying. They're doing this. They're doing all these things. And he's like, I've got to send him to you. And so this thought was Paul had his Timothy, and he had invested in him, and it's powerful. Now, we're going to go offline, Carol Ann, so I'm telling you right now, we're going offline. We're going kind of over, if you've ever had a Jeep and you kind of go off the road. All right, so I am going off the road right now. Have your Bibles open. You need your Bibles. We are going biblically off-roading, okay? Hold on. I'll get you back, but I want you just to kind of track with me. So go back to Philippians chapter 1. In your Bibles, not up top, only in the Bible. And make noises with the pages. I love to hear the rustling of Bible pages. Oh, it sounds wonderful from here. Yes, Dan, you're doing very good. Thank you for indulging me on that. All right. So if you think, just to go back to Philippians chapter 1. And if you, again, have that, you'll see in verse 6, Paul says this. He says that God had started a good work in them and that he was going to bring it to completion. I want you just to think about this. We talk about multiplying. We talk about spiritually investing. Paul knew that he had made an investment in them and he knew that God was going to bring it to completion. Let's go to verse 10, same chapter. Verse 9. He was praying that their love would abound. He was praying that they would abound in discernment in verse 10. And he was praying that they would know how to make those investments. They would know how to love. Go to verse 12. Paul wanted them to know that even though it might not look like the investments were doing well, in verse 12, if you notice when Paul said, these things that have happened to me, I'm in prison, doesn't look like these things are from God, but he's saying, these things have advanced the gospel. You know what's amazing about spiritual investments? That if you stick with them, they will advance the gospel. Friends, I want you to know, there's been a lot invested in this church. There's been a lot invested in me. There's been a lot invested in you. But I want you to know those investments will advance the gospel. Hear me on this. Paul wanted them to know, hey, despite what you've heard, the gospel is going forward. Look at verse 14. He said, you know, here's proof that the investment is doing well, that people are bold in their faith, that people are confident in their sharing. This is powerful. I was sitting in the apologetics class, which I would highly recommend. 9? 15 or 9? 9, all right, yeah. 9:15 is for the, never mind. 9 o'clock is when you're supposed to be there. But anyways, we want you to be bold in sharing your faith. We want you to be able to boldly share about why Christ has given you hope and changed your life. And so this is part of, we have confidence in our investments. We know how strong they are. I'm coming back on the road now, Carol Ann. I'm coming back to Philippians 2:20, where Paul says this, that, you know, there's no one, if you will, that has that same interest as him. And so that's a powerful, powerful thought. All right, so we're coming back. Hang on. Let me go back off the road just one more time. Verse 19, he knew that in chapter 1, he knew that without the help of the Holy Spirit and without their prayers, that they wouldn't make it. In verse 20, he knew that whether he lived or died of chapter 1, he said, you know, I just want to honor Christ no matter what happens. And he had joy that they were making progress. And so this is where Paul was at. So we come back to verse 19 where he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you that he may cheer you on and be cheered by the news of you. So when we talk about making these investments and praying for an army of investors, I pray that here. And I pray that God would raise that up. And I base it on Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where Jesus said all authority was given to him. And then he says this, go and make disciples, in verse 19, of all nations, in Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And as we kind of hold on to this, this is why we're here. This is why we're doing what we're doing. Jesus has commanded us to do these things. He's told us, go and make spiritual investments. Go and make disciples. So I pray as you think, well, what is Dolores Park Church about? What is Pastor John about? He's about making spiritual investments. 2 Timothy 2 is a great verse in verse 2 where it says this. It says, and what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who also will be able to teach others. So we pray this and we say, Lord, make me a disciple, and I want you to say this with me. Make me a disciple who makes disciples. Oh, that's how we pray. And I want you just to keep focusing in on that. Because as you know, in any church, but especially here today, we're always one generation away from being extinct. If we don't make disciples, we won't be here in 20 years. We need to constantly make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And that it should be our mantra, and that should be what we think about and we pray about and say, God, please allow me to pour out to others what you've poured into me. And so I think about that. A second thought, spiritual investing, I believe with all my heart, is really close to the mind of our Savior. And the second point in your outline is this, spiritually investing displays the mind of our Savior. And here's what Paul says in Philippians 2:20. He says, I have no one that's like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. They all seek their own interests. Notice this, not those of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you look at this text and you kind of see what it is, seeking your own interests is how we're all wired. We're all wired just to think about us. And so we want to move from that and take on the interests of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we follow that thought, here's a few cross-references that might help you capture what Paul was writing. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:10. He says, when Timothy comes, he says, he'll put you at ease at the work that he's doing. But notice this, what he says about Timothy. Timothy is doing the work of the Lord, just like I am. So here's this thought. Timothy's reproducing himself. Timothy's making spiritual investments. Paul's making those investments. And Paul simply says, hey, he's doing the work of the Lord. This is on the Lord's mind. This is his passion. This is what he wants us to do. So as I follow that, Luke 21, 34, Jesus said, and to bring just kind of how the Lord would look at it, he said, watch your lives. Watch your hearts. Now, here's what I know what the enemy wants to do. And here it is right here. I want you to see it. He wants to weigh down your heart. He wants to weigh you down. And he has like three things that he uses: dissipation, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Now, I have to say, out of the three of those, I think you'll be glad to hear, the one that kills me, cares of this life. I don't know which one gets you, and you can discuss that amongst yourselves, but I want you to know, the cares of this life weigh us down. It's like a weight that's on you. And so Jesus said, watch yourself that you don't just get into following your own interests, and that the cares of this life don't come upon you and keep you like a trap. And so that it's a powerful, powerful thought. As I look at this, Philippians 2:20, Paul goes back and says, I have no one like Timothy. This is powerful. Who will be genuinely caring about your welfare. Just to break that down, genuinely concerned means to expand our caring beyond just our own needs and look to the interest of Christ and others. It goes back to Philippians 2:4, where Paul says this. He said, let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And then he says this, have this mind among yourselves. This mind of spiritual investing is the mind of Christ. This is what God wants us to be doing. And so we hold on to that. 1 Corinthians 10:24, another cross-reference to this. Paul says, you know, everyone looks to seek their own good. Let no one seek his own good, he says, but the good of his neighbor. Now, here's where we're battling. And 2 Timothy 3:2 kind of gets us to where we are today and the battle that we have. He says, for people, notice this, will be lovers of self. Friends, we live in a culture that loves itself. Now, we had, growing up, the me generation, and that generation has reproduced an even greater form of the me generation. And so we can look and point and say, oh, the boomers did this, and the builders did this, and the millennials are up to this, and Generation X did this. But here's the bottom line. This loving of self, this has been around for a long time, okay? This goes back to way before we had any of these great terms. And so men will be lovers of themselves. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, it's such a powerful thing because here we live in this culture of San Francisco that really exhibits this. And yet, here's what I know. You can love yourself as much as you want, and you can do everything that you want to do. But here's the problem. It won't heal the brokenness that's inside. It will not heal it. There's a vacuum in us that only God can fill. And when we reach out to Him, that's when our life is changed. And when we have experienced that, that's when things really go. 1 Corinthians 12:25, Paul said that he prayed for the church, that there would be no division in the church. And then he said he prayed that there would we would have the same care one for another. So here's a prayer that I pray for me, and I pray this for you. Say it with me. Give me a mindset of investing and break me from the blindness of materialism and self-focus. I think we have to recognize this runs deep in me. This runs deep in you. And it's okay to just say, God, you know, I know that left to myself, no Holy Spirit, I will love myself. That's all I'll do. And so I want to be broken from that. I want to be liberated from that. And so that's a powerful thing. Now, spiritual investments, here's the good news. They bring the best returns. This is something you need to know. The returns here are amazing. Now, I know the typical bank account, like if you get 1%, you're like, wow, 2%, ooh, you know, I mean, you've really done something. But spiritual investments, let's look at what the Bible says are the returns. And here's what Paul says in verse 22. He says, you know Timothy, and I love this word here, his proven worth, he says, how as a son with the father, he served with me in the gospel. And he said, I hope I can send him to you soon, and I trust that the Lord, shortly I'll be able to come. But he uses this thought, that Timothy, the proven worth. Now, here's what we know about spiritual investments. And if you break down that word, proven worth, it's a Greek word that is used, dokimazo, and it has this thought of something that's tested in battle, something that's been tested and is pure gold and is worth the genuine artifact, if you will. And so here's how we knew the investments were so powerful, because Timothy kept persevering even under trials. Now, when I think about this, I say, oh, thank you, Lord, for investors that stay true even in the most difficult times. Looking a little bit further, it says, he served with me in the gospel. And I love this thought that Timothy literally was a fellow bondslave. I want you to recognize this. Jesus invested in people. He was a servant. Paul says he was a servant. Timothy says that he was a servant. Well, what did a servant do? A servant does the will of his master. What's the will of his master but to invest in others? That's the will. So my life is not my own. Your life is not your own. God has called you to invest in others. Oh, it's a powerful thought. I love a good friend of mine, Vernon Brewer. He has a quote that he says, and you'll meet Vernon one day. He's a trip. But anyways, he founded a ministry called World Help that ministers all around the world. And he's 69, 70 years old now. And he could definitely put the kickstand down, but I want to tell you, like, this guy just goes. He's in Iraq one day, he's in Israel another day, he was in Guatemala this week, and he's just serving. But this is his motto, and I love it. He says, every day, I try to live my life in a way that I accomplish, notice this, one thing that will outlive me and last for eternity. And that has impacted me. And I look at Timothy, and I want you to see how Paul impacted him. In 2 Timothy 3:10, just a cross-reference on this, here's what Paul said to Timothy, and I want you to see this. He said, Timothy, you followed my teaching. Now, that's great that he followed his teaching, but I want you to see real discipleship is more than knowledge. Real discipleship is more than just knowing something. Real discipleship goes much deeper than this. Look what Paul said. You followed my teaching. Notice this. You followed my conduct. That's even deeper. Then he says, you followed my aim in life. Like literally, my aim in life became your aim in life. Then he goes even deeper. You followed my faith. You followed my patience. You followed my love. You followed my steadfastness. You followed my persecutions. You followed my sufferings. Whoa. That is deep. That is discipleship. When you follow through all of that, And that could be a whole message. We could unpack every one of those words. Don't have time for that today. But I looked at that and I thought, wow, God, have I followed you with my conduct? Is my aim in my life the same as you want it to be? Is my faith as strong as you want it to be? Am I sticking with you in steadfastness, in persecutions and sufferings? Whew. That's the advanced class. But that's a spiritual investment. So for Paul to say that about Timothy, what a great return. And so I ask you this question. It's question number 5 in your outline. And we're going to pause the message here for station identification. We are on the Praise the Lord network that runs it runs all the time. So I want you to think of this. This is question 5 in your notes. And I want you to think about someone who took a risk on you. And someone you took a risk on, maybe. And share the difference that was made. But let's just start with the first one. So let's just start with the first one. And just a name. Someone who took a risk on you. Now, I'm going to start this, and this is God's providence. I did not know this was going to happen, but Rick Enright's here. Rick, stand up just for a minute. This is somewhat providential from my view. Rick was on the search team that brought me to my past church. I met Rick 13, 14 years ago, okay? And I just want to say thank you for taking a risk on me. And thank you for coming today, driving 45 minutes to get here and flying all day yesterday. It's such a blessing. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah. So I'm modeling that. Can you think of someone that took a risk on you? You just want to say thank you to them, that they took a risk on you. You don't have to say what they did, but you want to just say thank you to somebody.
Mom.
Amen. Your mother. That's good. Moms take risks. They sure do. Someone else.
My sister Ruby.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Ruby.
Somebody? Here's the name you remember, Jane Goff.
Yes. Amen. Amen. She took a risk. Someone else. Someone you just think, thank you for them. They took a risk on me. Thank you. Linda and Bill.
Pastor Cooper.
Say again?
Pastor Cooper.
Pastor Cooper took a risk on you. Amen.
Pat O'Brien.
Amen. Thank you.
The trustee.
That was a great risk. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Andrew Hoffman.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that they took a risk on you? And I want you just to think about this. Where would we be if people didn't take risks on us? I remember as an 18-year-old, Bible school student, I had a pastor that would make us get up and give 5-minute, he called them introductions. And we'd had to be ready at any time to speak for 5 minutes in front of the church. I just want you to think about how nerve-wracking that can be. But I'm thankful that he took risks in me. And I just want to say to all the young people, I wouldn't be here if people hadn't took risks on me. And so I am more than willing to take risks on you because I believe that that's how we get here. And we don't have to do everything perfectly. Especially, you won't get that from me. You know I make mistakes every week, and I will probably point them out to you. But if not, you can come back to me. But that being said, it's not about that. It's about people's gifts being developed. It's about people getting chances to share what God has put inside of them. And I just want to say, church, I want to be a culture that we just treasure that. And we prize that. And I know that you do. And I just want to encourage you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Reflect on that life. In question 5 again, maybe it would be appropriate to write a thank you card to that person. 1 Corinthians 4:17, I'll move on. He said that Timothy was a beloved And notice the words that he says about Timothy, faithful child in the Lord. And notice what Timothy did as a faithful child in the Lord. He reminded them of the ways in Christ. And he taught them to everywhere in the church, wherever he went. That's a wonderful testimony. 3 John 4, the Apostle John says this. He said that he had no greater joy than to see his investments walking in the truth. And I want to say to you, somebody said, well, what are you about? What do you care about? I'll say this for me. The greatest joy I have is to see people walking in the truth. It's the best. It's what it's all about. And if we can encourage that more, Hannah, I appreciate you sharing, and I know people have invested in you, and I just want you to know that's great joy for us, and it's wonderful. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, what is our hope? What is our joy? What is our crown? What are we going to boast about when Jesus comes? You know, I mean, I could boast about the Patriots winning last night, but I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'm not going to do that. I know that I could do that, but that's not going to mean anything in the presence of Christ. What's going to matter are these investments. It won't matter how much, you know, what car we drove or where we lived or what our golf score was. It won't matter. What will matter is people that have been changed by Christ. That is what will matter, and that's what really, really counts. David, in Acts 13:36, David said he served his purpose of God in his own generation. And I believe with all my heart that the purpose of God for us is to invest spiritually in people, both evangelistically and also in discipleship. And so that's what God is doing. So I'm going to ask you to ask this for 2017, to ask God for a person, one person. Okay, you say, well, I could do two. All right, do two, that's fine. But at least ask for one, okay? Ask for one person that you could reach out to, that you could invest in. And I also want to challenge you with this, to ask for people that could invest in you. Because I think it's both. I think we always need to be learning and always need to be invested in. But we also need to invest, and especially in the next generation. So I want you to know, I'm praying this. This is my prayer personally. I'm praying, God, allow us together to reach out to that next generation. We say, Pastor John, I want to do that. But all I can think about is blank. All right, let's be honest. For some, they'll say, I want to do it, but I don't feel qualified. Can't do it. Others will say, I want to do it, but I'm too busy, or I want to do it. I have pain. I have things that have hurt me so much. I've suffered. Or I'm not in the best health or whatever it is. And I want you to think about this and just say, God, what is it that's keeping me from doing the Lord's work? The enemy wants to keep you from doing God's work. And he will use anything he can to lock you up and keep you from doing this. So here's a verse I would give you. We're coming to it in a few weeks. But Philippians 3:13, Paul says, I do not consider that I've made it on my own. He says that some translations say he didn't feel like he had arrived. But one thing he did is he forgot the things that were behind and he strained forward to what lies ahead. And in verse 14, he said, I press on towards the mark, the prize of the high calling, the upward call of Christ. And so he kept praying for that, and I pray for that. So my last thought is this: spiritual investments do require suffering and sacrifice. They do. In verse 27, we see it with Epaphroditus. He was ill. He was near death. But God had mercy on him. Now, there's something about redwood trees. I got to bring this up one more time. A second redwood fact. I usually just do one, but today you've been so good, and the power was out last week. I think you need another one. So here's number two. Redwoods are known by biology as very plastic species, they say. And they say they're like a machine. And he was talking about how they release, how they keep reproducing. And the thought is, once you get them going, you can't stop it. I want to say the same thing is true about spiritual investing. Once you have this mindset, and once you get this going, you can't stop it. It cannot be stopped. And so it's powerful. And God's promise to us is not that we wouldn't have hardships, that he would keep us from the hardships. No, his promise is that he would get us through the hardships, not keep us from the hardships. And I do have a question about that. What's wrong with the thought that, hey, I got saved, and you know, I'm not going to go through any trials? It reminds me of that song, I Beg Your Pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. Do, 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 do. I don't know the rest of the words. All right. Philippians 2:30 says, for he nearly died. This was Epaphroditus for the work of Christ. And notice what it says about this man. He risked his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. And this thought is that he wanted the Philippians to grow so badly, he was willing to risk his life to literally go to them. And he knew that Paul couldn't go, so he wanted to keep the work going. And what a great commendation. And so, you know, as I think about this, again, I go back to Matthew 28:19. And this was the Great Commission, and this is what Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he said, go and teach them to observe all these things. So we're putting out a help wanted sign, and here's what it says, help wanted, spiritual investors in Dolores Park Church. Now, before I put the sign out, I do want to say something. I want to say something to all of you. Thank you. Thank you for not quitting. Thank you for investing in this church. Thank you for not giving up. But I also want to inspire you and say, keep on investing. Keep on investing. Because this is the great thought of God. This is what God has called us to do. So, where do we need the investors? Let's be clear. I'll invest in our babies. Our babies in the nursery need investments. I'll invest in our children. Our children need us to invest in them. I'll invest in our youth, in our students. I'll invest in some category that I've probably forgotten, so please know. I can't think of every possible way you could invest, but I'll invest in people that have addictions. I'll invest in people that have hurts and habits and hang-ups that they can't get free from. I'll invest in millennials and singles and marrieds and seniors. I'll invest in these people, and I share this because it's important for us to stick with our investments no matter what. And I know, you know, the market goes up, the market goes down. Should I get in? Should I get out? And people, you know, sage advisors say, just stick with it. All right. Well, spiritually, I want to say to you, stick with these investments. It will pay off. It will pay off. Let's pray together. So as we're praying, I'd like you just to think about the line that I just said. Pastor John, I want to do this, but all I can think about is blank. And I just want to give you a moment, whether it's your sin, your bitterness, someone else's sin, your failures, someone else's failures. And I want you just to cry out to God and ask Him, beg Him, God, help me to get past what's stopping me from doing this. And I want you just to imagine, just for a moment, Jesus Christ, the Savior, knocking on the door of your heart and saying to you, come to me. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Give it to me. Give it to me. Let me take it. I paid for it on the cross. I suffered for it by shedding my blood. I was buried and I rose again so that you wouldn't have to carry that by yourself. So right now, right where you are, lay that burden down. And if this is something new to you, and you're new to the faith, I just want to encourage you that you're new to this church. Jesus Christ died for your sins. There's more to this life than just this life. And it's not an accident that you're here. And we want you to call on Him right now. Say, God, if you're real, show me. God, I believe, I trust that you died for me on that cross and that you were buried for me and rose again. And best I know how, right now, I'm calling out to you and I'm asking you to save me. If you're doing that here today, I would love to know about it. I'd love to walk with you. Ann and I will be at the door as we go out. We'll have people up here in the front that would love to pray with you after the service. You can put it on one of the cards and let us know. But we want to walk with you. We want to invest in you spiritually. So, Father, I pray, do your work here through your Spirit. Thank you for these spiritual investors. In Jesus' name, amen.